Well, hello. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back. We're going to start a brand new lesson today, and I promised you on, I don't know if you remember, but back whenever we started these lessons, I think it was in the introduction, and maybe a few times I had mentioned down through there that if I had... when we go from lesson to lesson, for instance, the last lesson that we were involved in that we just finished last recording, I promised you that was going to go into missions, or at least I said we was going to go into missions. But then I mentioned before that if I had completed another study to add into the ABCs, and it was... one of the same letters, then don't be surprised if we went into that letter. And this is one of those cases. Last recording, when we finished the last lesson, I mentioned to you that we were going to go into the letter M and talk about missions. Well, we're going to do that, but not until we finish this next lesson, which will be lesson number 12A, and it's concerning life. The letter L, and we're going to talk about life. And it's an interesting study. It's a study that I just finished going through the scriptures and studying what the scriptures say about life. And I don't know if you've ever gotten into the Word of God and talked about and seen what the Bible talks quite a bit about life. And I've often wondered when I sit around and think about the matter, what life is all about. And I think that's one of the biggest questions in society and in the world and all population of the world is that people don't know what life is. And they're on a mad search from place to place, from here to there and up and down and in and out and right and left and cold and hot and just in search, unending search to find out what they say the meaning of life is. But not only the meaning of life, but let's back it up one step farther than that. What is life? What does life mean? There, people use the word life, but I think the majority of people use it kind of flippantly with no definition of it. Is life is a funny thing, and yet the most serious thing on the planet. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he'd come to give life. What did he mean by that? And the Bible talks a lot about life. I mean a lot. It uses the word life, and unashamedly. And the Bible, well, let's just go right on into it, and we'll talk about it. But I just wanted to let you know that this is one of those instances where we're going to jump and back up just a little bit. But I'm not going to change anything to edit anything in these recordings so that you'll know the mistakes that I make and know that everything about these recordings is on the up and up, and it's the truth and sincerity in my heart of doing these recordings before the Lord and before you. And I hope that you can still enjoy it, even though we make these kind of changes and differences. You that were looking forward to finding out some things in the Bible about missions, we're going to get on that. So I hope you're not too upset about that and that you forgive me for sticking this thing in there at this time, but I'm kind of excited about it. When I studied this and went through this, this is quite a long study, like our Q study, not quite as long as that, but it's similar to the Q study. Talking about life, and I think when we're finished with this study that you're going to know quite a bit more than you did and understand the Bible's view, God's Word's view of what life is. What life is. Well, let me ask you a question. What is life? What is life? How do you define life? Now, you're going to hear the word life probably a million times in this study, because even on the paperwork that I have with the study put in black and white that I've told you about before, that you're welcome to, if you want it, you can email me and I'll send it to you. But the word life, I even highlighted and have used that word many, many, many times through this study. So get used to hearing it, because you're going to. If anything else in this study, I want you to highlight the word life in your mind and in your heart, so that you start a search in your heart about what the Bible says about life. And what is life? How do you define life? Is life important or unimportant? Where does life come from if it does exist? How do you prove that life exists? There are some people that say that life comes from a rock, or comes from goo, or comes from a volcano, or comes from a monkey, or comes from millions and bazillions and zillions of years ago. Is that true? What is life? What do they mean when they say life a million years ago? What do you define what you're talking about when you say life? What is life? Is life spiritual or is it physical? How is life identified? Who or what has the power over life if it does exist? Is life forever or is it temporary? Is it possible that there is no such thing as life? You say that's silly. Well, then what is this life that exists? What's the definition? Can you lay out a definition and write a definition of what life is without looking up anything, just whatever's in your heart? What would you say? If you wrote L-I-F-E and underlined it and put a dash out there and just wrote down from your heart what life is, what would it be? If life exists, who and what decides if it continues or ends or when? Do I have life? Do you have life? How do you know you have life? Is life a set of beliefs? Is life tangible? Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Can life be proven by facts? And if it can, what are the facts of life? Is it possible that someone does not have life? What does someone mean when they say, I'm going to take my own life? Can a person know they have life? And if they can, what is this life that they say they know they have? What is life? Can life be controlled? What is life? What does life mean? What's the definition of life? What's the evidence that life is present? These are good questions, don't you think? Have you ever thought about that before? Of course you have. The entire world is thinking about these questions continually. Nobody and everybody can define life and defines it differently whenever they do. You line up 100 people and put that same word down with a dash, and every one of those 100 people will define it differently. Now, these are not unfair, unfamiliar questions. People spent their entire life on quests to answer these questions and died empty and confused. These are questions that mankind has been trying to answer since man's existence. Probably every question that has been asked and sought after by science and philosophy are centered around the unanswered mystery of life. There have been many people who have tried and taken on these powerful questions associated with what is life. And it's a merry-go-round. And have come out spent nutcases. People trying to figure out life. All these psychologists and all these sociologists and all these philosophers and all these scientists and even the common man trying to figure out what life is and define it. Men have been followed as gods and great thinkers and some men with great minds because of their answers of the topic of life. There have been great followings of people that have followed people on the issue of life. Back in the 60s, all the hippies was following, and the bohemians and everybody else was following great, huge crowds because of what they thought about life. There must be something very special about this object, life. There being so much mystery and wonder around it, don't you think? It appears that the author of this great mystery has chosen for it to be where nobody can control it or manipulate it, because nobody's come up with an answer that the entire world can be satisfied with. But yet, the Holy Scriptures and Jesus Christ have so many things to say concerning it. Life and its mysteries are probably the only subject that every human being that ever lived have uniquely considered seriously in common and never been able to define satisfactorily. Wow. That's something, wouldn't you say? The entire world, every soul that's ever been existent in a body on this planet has thought on that issue of what is life. I've been reading through Ecclesiastes again. I enjoy that study and find something. The Lord gives me something new every time I go through there. That's one of Solomon's biggest issues, is life under the sun. And he's talking about a man in the body on the earth under the sun. And he talks about many, many, many things in 12 chapters about what is life. But the big saying in the book of Ecclesiastes is under the sun. But he's talking about life. And one thing he talks about in there is that no man's ever going to find out what God doesn't want him to find out. And that's one of man's biggest desires, is to know what God knows. And one big issue is life. Because wherever and whatever life is, it has to be something gigantic and very, very important, because every human being is involved and part of it. And if there's a God, which you know better than that, I'm just saying that for the purpose of this thing. You know what I think. Not what I think, what I know. But if there's a God, then does he have control over this life? And how is he included in this issue of life? Lots and lots of questions. You talk about In the Bible, it tells us avoiding foolish and unlearned questions, not to get mixed up in all that stuff. When you get on an issue that just asks question after question after question after question, and it produces nothing but questions and no answers, we're supposed to avoid that. But it seems man has failed at that, because since Adam, there ain't been anything that has squashed the issue of life. The issue of life has been in every generation since man has existed. Now, we talked about how you would define life. Well, man's got some definitions for life. Let's go over some of them and see if maybe some of these are. And you're probably familiar with a lot of them, but I just looked up what man thinks about life, and to begin with in this study, and just see how man defines it. Well, one thing is it's defined as a characteristic state or mode of living. For instance, the social life, or city life, or real life. A characteristic state or a mode of living. People call that life and define that as life. Well, I live the city life. Does that define life? Another one. That's not all. The experience of being alive. The course of human events and activities. For instance, he could no longer cope with the complexities of life. The experience of being alive. The course of human events and activities. Is that what life is? Another one. The course of existence of an individual. The actions and events that occur in living. For instance, he hoped for a new life in Australia. He wanted to live his own life without interference from others. Is that life? The course of existence of an individual? Is that life? Is that what life means? Is, if we were to define life, would that be the definition of definitions that describes life? Here's another one. The condition of living, or the state of being alive. Here's an example. While there's life, there's hope. Life depends on many chemical and physical processes. Is that life? The condition of living, or the state of being alive? Is that the definition of life? That's one of man's. Here's another one. The period during which something is functional. As between birth and death. You know, the dash that they put on your tombstone. They put your birthday and then they put your death day, and there's a dash in between it. Does that dash represent life? For instance, he lived a long and happy life. The battery had a short life. Is that life? Is that the definition of life? Here's another one. The period between birth and the present time. For instance, I have known him all his life. Is that life? Does that bring it down to the nitty-gritty about what life is, or identifying life? If we said, what is life? Would that define it? Here's another one. The period from the present until death. For instance, he appointed himself emperor for life. Is that life? Is that the definition of life? Well, it definitely makes sense in that sentence, but he appointed himself emperor for life. Well, what is that life? Here's another one. A living person. That's a definition for life. A living person. For instance, his heroism saved a life. A living person. Well, if a person is alive, is that called life? Does that define life if somebody's alive? So if somebody's not alive, then life doesn't exist, whatever it is? Here's another one. Animation and energy in action or expression. For instance, it was a heavy play and the actors tried in vain to give life to it. Well, we know that makes sense and we understand what it says, but when we think about that, what is life? What are they talking about? The actors tried to in vain to give life to it. What is life? Here's another one. Living things collectively. For instance, the oceans are teeming with life. What are you talking about? The oceans are teeming with life. That doesn't define life. It just says that the oceans are full of it. What is life? Can I go and dip some out of the ocean? Here's another one. The organic phenomena. These words might be getting too much for me now. The organic phenomenon that distinguishes living organisms from non-living ones. For instance, there is no life on the moon. Is that the definition of life? If I went to the moon, would I be able to tell that there's not life there? And if I could tell, what would it be that I'd be identifying as life? Are you getting what we're trying to get to here and start this study out? What is life? L-I-F-E. Life. Now, this is the ABCs of Christian growth. And that's what we're going to study this life matter about. But we're going to get all of our facts and our doctrine about life from the Scriptures and what the Bible says. Here's another one. An account of the series of events making up a person's life. For instance, the autobiography was entitled, "This Was Your Life." So when you identify somebody by an autobiography and you read about their life, what is it exactly that you're identifying about that person that's called life? Here's another one. A motive for living. Here, listen to this example. Pottery was his life. I heard some people say some stuff like that. Man, this is the life. I don't know if I could live life without this. People use the word life all the time. Matter of fact, when you wake up tomorrow, listen for the word life. I bet you hear it. I just got through talking to one of my family members on the phone that had called me to ask me to pray for a fellow that we've been praying for about a year, and he's family to her in-law, husband, his in-laws, but one fella trying to kill himself, take his own life, was just in a big major truck accident, and she just sent me a picture of the truck, and that truck, I mean, she said only the Lord can do that and save a man's life. He's in critical condition, and he's all crushed up, but he's alive, but what is it about him that discerns whether he has life or not? Here's another one. A prison term lasting as long as the prisoner's lives. For instance, he got life for killing the guard. Does that define life? And when that judge pronounces him a life sentence, what is it about the definition of life that he's describing for this man? What is life? How do you know when somebody's talking about life? Is life an object? Is life invisible? Or is it visible? Can you see life? Can you hear life? Can you taste life? What is life? In August of 1969, you probably remember this, and I only bring this up because this is something that I was reading one time, and it really blew me away to hear these words that this person spoke in this time in their life of what was going on. Listen to this. In August of 1969, Charles Manson's followers murdered over a two-day period. You remember that? One of the women that followed Manson was a young woman named Patricia Krenwinkel. She, after 30 years of imprisonment, agreed to an interview about those nights and what transpired. With all respect to their families, one thing she spoke about was when Abigail Folger, the heiress to the coffee company, that had been tied up, she loosed herself. She got loose. And she attempted to escape and ran outside. Well, Patricia Krenwinkel gave chase, and she chased her. She chased Abigail Folger out into the yard and down the driveway with her knife up, and she caught her. And while she was stabbing her, she was stabbing Miss Folger, Abigail Folger, she stabbed her 28 times and killed her out in that front yard. Stabbed her 28 times. But one thing, when I was watching this documentary about Patricia Krenwinkel telling this story about killing Abigail Folger, she said while she was stabbing her, she had this real puzzled look. I mean, it's like when somebody's talking and they're telling a story and then all of a sudden they stop and their eyes go foggy, like they're really going back, you know, and really visualizing this thing. Well, that's the way she was in this documentary when she said this. Patricia Krenwinkel, then with a very puzzled look on her face, recited something that she remembered Abigail Folger saying while she was stabbing her. In other words, she chased her out in the yard, caught her, was stabbing her a total of 28 times with this knife, and while she was stabbing her, Abigail Folger was saying something. And she said that Patricia Krenwinkel said that she was saying, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead. You can't kill me. I'm already dead." It seemed by the interview and her remembering this, when I was watching this, when Patricia Krenwinkel in her interview and she was remembering this, she remembered it. She'd been in jail for, 30 years? And she never forgot what this woman said while she was killing her. I mean, can you imagine going through something like that and being stabbed? And all due respect to the Folger family, but going through and being stabbed 28 times by somebody, and you know you're fixing to die, it seemed like you would say the most important thing or call out for help or plead for mercy or something like that. But this woman was saying, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." And it seemed by the interview and her remembering this for a long time that it haunted her, Patricia Krenwinkel, it haunted her those 30 years of what that woman was saying. You can't kill me, I'm already dead. Now this is a very powerful statement to say about life while being stabbed to death. This woman was talking about life when she said that. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. That's a powerful statement to be saying while you're being stabbed 28 times to death. Now, what did she mean? What is life? What is life? Well, let's look at a few scriptures. And we're going to make this a short one, a little shorter than the others that we've been doing. But I want to read you some scriptures about what the Bible. Now, we've talked about this, a big introduction right there, and we've defined some things that man's definitions of life is, but it really did not define anything, did it? It just gave an instance of what they were using the word life for. Like social life, city life, like the complexities of life, like a new life in Australia, while there's life, there's hope. I mean, sure, you're using the word life, but you're not defining it. You're just saying that life exists in the point that you're trying to make. But you're not defining what life is. That's what we're after. We want to know what God says about what life is. So let's look at some scripture. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That brings a new light to that verse, doesn't it? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Now, maybe that's what Abigail Folger was talking about. She said, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." Now, I'm hoping that's exactly what she was talking about. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. Why? Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So what does that verse show us right off the bat about life? It shows us that even though we're living, we're classified as dead, and whatever life is about us is hid with Christ in God. Wow. I didn't hear any man define it like that. Here's another scripture. So, wait, just for a minute. It seems that there's no human being able to give a satisfactory answer to what life really is, except one. There's only one that can give a satisfactory answer to what life is. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." The man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, you see, it's apparent that mankind does not have the control over life or the definition of life because he cannot stop himself from dying. Death will be an entirely different study whenever we get into that. We're going to have a study on death, but the Bible already has mentioned in Colossians, where we begin talking about life or reading in the Bible about life, that the very first thing it mentions was death. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Well, what did Paul mean when he said that we're dead, even though he's writing to us and we can read what he's saying? He still says that we're dead. And then he says that our life, whatever it is hid with Christ in God. Man, I want to find out what this life is, don't you? And I think by the time we get to the end of the study, this thing is going to really broaden out, and the Bible is going to really show us what God's view of life is, and it's going to be a lot bigger than we can imagine, and way out of man's boundaries, but yet understandable because of our faith. Here's another scripture. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, like I was talking about a while ago, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So the Bible says that no man has the power to retain his spirit. And likewise, he neither has the power in the day of death. You can't stop yourself from dying. So whatever we talk about being life, we can't use it to stop death. Michael Jackson, from what I understand, had some things prepared for him. If I understood it right, he had several things made before he died so that when he died, I think one of them was being froze or something like that. But he was preparing to keep himself alive from dying. It didn't work. Whatever life was or whatever life is, it couldn't stop that death. And you know how many people have died that have died on the earth? All of them. Everybody that's ever died, every one of them died. So whatever life is, it can't stop death. At least in this way. Isn't that what we read? The Bible says there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. So whatever life is about us, and however it's defined, and whatever its existence is defined as, it can't be used to stop this death. People go in the grave every day, but they still talk about life. What is life? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Listen to this. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now in that verse right there, the Lord used the word himself, life. He used the word life. Jesus said and identified himself as the life. John 6:63, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And quickeneth in the Scriptures, of course we know, means to make alive. To be quickened. To be made alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. That's the first definition that we've seen in the Scripture that specifically calls something life. And it's the Word of God. The Lord said that. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. This thing's getting interesting already, isn't it? Well, that's what the Bible says, and we believe the Bible. We believe God's Word, and that's what we're going by. And whatever the Lord says life is, that's what we're going to believe, because that's truth. Right? Right. So in order for us to get the truth about what life is, we must go to someone who knows about what it is to be a man and what it is to be God. Also, this person should be able to affirm that he knows the definition of life and not just hypothetical gum flapping, right? Whoever we want to get this definition of life and what life is so we can lay it to rest in our mind that we can say without a shadow of a doubt that we know what life is, we need to get it from somebody that knows what they're talking about, don't we? And somebody that was and is a man and knows what it's like to be a man, and somebody that knows what it's like to be God. And of course, you know we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was both and is both. And he ain't just running his mouth and saying, well, this is life or that's life or here's life or there's life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, don't just say, well, Brother Thurman, okay, you've already answered it, so we can stop this study. No, 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 no. This study is going to open up into a big, broad thing that maybe you already know about and maybe you don't, but it's going to be something that you're going to be glad to learn, because it's beautiful and it's the Lord and it's His Word. But to bring the first parts of our scripture that we wanted to that we've read to begin this introduction on this thing of life, I think that was good scripture. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we have the Word of God involved in it, because the Word of God says it is life. And then we have the Lord Jesus Christ involved in it already, because He says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we also have death in it, because the Bible says that no man has control over death. He can't stop himself from dying. That kind of puts this life in an interesting situation, doesn't it? It makes me want to know what it is. Jesus said that He is life, and His words that He spoke to us are life. I think we have our answer in where to go to look for the facts of life, don't you? God's Word, the Bible. That's what He said, isn't it? Okay, from here on, we're going to look to the Word of God to seek our answer about what is life. When we find it, we're not going to doubt it. We're going to believe it, what the Lord says. And no matter what the outcome is, we're going to believe it. Agreed? All right. Now, in the Bible, the word life is in the Old Testament about 239 times. And in the New Testament, it mentions it, the word life, 170 times, more or less. The Lord spoke the word life with His own voice, His own mouth, in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation, a total of about 73 times, more or less. And I say more or less not because I'm not being specific, because I did count them, but I might have missed one. In the Scriptures, when it speaks of life, it places our focus on one of many different tenses of life, along with what the Lord actually said about life out of His mouth while He was here. Now, while we study, we need to remember that when the Holy Ghost speaks the word life, He's not always speaking of life in the same way. We'll study all this and more, and we're going to study that and more. But what an honor to have a God's, have our God's Word that we can look at with our eyes and study these things, huh? Amen. So we'll get on into this more, and we'll break it down even farther and find out more about what life is and what life, the definition of life is. I hope you're interested in this, and I hope I didn't bore you any. I was excited to go over this. I didn't expect this lesson to turn out like I expected it to turn out to be truth, but I didn't expect it to. I learned a lot studying this, and I learn a lot every time I go over these because it's God's Word. So I hope you're interested in this and that it's put a big question mark in your mind and got you interested in a bigger and a broader question about, or maybe put a big carrot out in front of you to find out, what is this life? Okay? So we'll go to searching that, and we'll get into the next program, the next recording, and we will start out with something that the scriptures call natural life. Natural life, okay? All right, well, the Lord bless you, and I thank you for studying God's Word. Don't ever underestimate what you're learning or how important it is to study God's Word. I mean, you could probably have a better teacher than myself, but I enjoy being around you and studying together, and I think it's special and that we learn the Word of God together. And thank you for letting me teach. The Lord bless you, and you have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.